Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's
going to be. Hello, shoppers, and welcome. Right. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. For a beautiful Saturday, October the 23rd. Can it be almost the end of October already? Wow. Straight up 8 o'clock with Johnny Wright. Pleasure to have you with me this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in on somewhat of a rainy Saturday, and the rain's going to sort of come and go. Right now it has gone. We'll get to the weather forecast in just a moment. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to talk to Susan. Susan is a current employee of Walmart, longtime employee of a local Walmart. A little bit more, you know, you're going to find out some things about Walmart that you probably didn't know. And that one of which is they have a pretty good customer service training program. And they have some happy employees beyond our own perception that they may not always necessarily be happy workers at Walmart. Also, John Cullen, he is a recruiter for Executive Resources, which is a locally owned recruitment agency in Des Moines, on the state of employment locally. And that there are good jobs available. And that what are some of the right things and wrong things to say during an interview? John is an expert on that and tell you more about that for those of you in the job market, or maybe soon will be, as I know a lot of people are kind of thinking, all right, I don't really dig my current gig, but is it, can I put my toe in the water, and or do I need to hang on to what I got even though I may not be necessarily happy? Also, we're going to talk about the power of change. You know, I've heard it said that, you know, when by the time we hit 5 years old, we're pretty much who we are and who we're going to be. But you know what? There may be some truth to that, but we can still change. Some things change. It's like tragedy. Like, for example, this morning when I was in the bathroom, and you've all been there, you're trying to get the toilet paper roll to unravel. It's a brand new roll. And, we're reasonable people, and we realize that it's just paper. It's somehow, there's some glue that they use and probably overseas somewhere as they assemble these large rolls of toilet paper. But they're right up there at the beginning. You're just trying to get the little, just to shred it and pull on it. And, you know, and then I'm thinking, all right, now it's 3 minutes till showtime. Okay, just if it would just come, and then I'm pulling. And now I'm looking for a Bowie knife, like I'm a survivalist and I got to gut a fox to make a sandwich. And it's still not coming down. And now it's 1 minute. And then all reason leaves. You know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I have the Des Moines Register just in case. God, I'm trying to think, all right, what are my fallback options? And then finally it comes unraveled and I stop coming unraveled. So I am so happy that I avoided that tragedy this morning and I can join you this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Weather forecast. We got some rain after, my gosh, how many weeks have we went without any precipitation? October, typically very dry month. But no, Halloween's coming up. We got to get some rain going and a little bit of cold, maybe some snow. That's what makes Halloween kind of ghoulish fun. Today, a little bit of ghoulish rain, 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. And we had some early this morning. They will redevelop. And 77, though, very mild temperatures, very nice. And then 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the redevelopment area this evening, down to 57. More showers for Sunday, about a 30% chance, and 66, a bit cooler. Monday, sunny, back up to 73. Can't complain a bit. Wouldn't do any good if we did. 60 right now. And, of course, you have Iowa State, Iowa, Drake, you and I. And then, of course, the race for the cure going on as my head roars. I don't think they may have started. 20,000 strong, they're estimating, and I bet they just blow that number up even with a little bit of rain. Race for the Cure, Susan B. Komen Foundation. What a great, great event. What a wonderful fundraiser. 7 months ago, I wrote a Secret Shopper review of a little old store called Walmart. Now, you know, it was this little mom-and-pop joint, you know, kind of small, hidden off to the side. Wasn't doing really well, sort of struggling through, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to help these folks out. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to see what they're all about, and then, you know, maybe with a little PR, this place could, you know, somehow scrape by and maybe make it. Well, I'm happy to say that after my concerted effort, hard effort, my work, 7 months later, this little itty-bitty mom-and-pop store now occupies 8,000 stores in 15 countries, generating $400 billion in annual sales, employing over 2 million employees. And I understand they just bought The Sun. I mean, not a newspaper, the actual Sun, where the sun shines. Sure, going to turn that thing into a happy face. Yeah, Walmart's doing all right, and I'm glad I was a part of it. But 7 months ago, the review of the Walmart on 73rd Street, Windsor Heights, wasn't terribly good. In fact, some could say it was pretty terrible, period. Now, Joe Becker, the store manager at that time and this time, said this at the time. He said, quote, "We're not where we want to be yet. We're not where I want us to be. And obviously, our number one goal is to meet and greet every customer that comes through the door, which is so important because it's easier to keep the customers we have than to go find new ones," unquote. Joe, very nice man. I've met him a couple times at the store after that. And he also said this. He said, quote, "The key is to use this feedback to get better," unquote. In other words, what I understand from Joe is the review I wrote 7 months ago, the Secret Shopper review, was read to and provided to some of the employees. Maybe all of them. I don't know. I didn't get into detail. Awful lot of employees. I don't imagine they all read it. But I'm sure there were some points in there that were teachable points. Joe also suggested that there was a remodeling, not suggested, there was a remodeling project going on at the time, and that maybe that could possibly interfere with employees' ability to meet and greet and engage. Absolutely. You got hammering and sawing and all kinds of goobity-goop going on. So, yeah, it's understood. There could be some interference running through there. Well, in April, on April 23rd, in fact, they had a new grand reopening. The remodeling was over, all done. And so Joe had suggested, hey, come back and secret shop us again, or come back and at least shop with us again, which I've done, oh, easily over a dozen times, maybe two dozen times. It is sort of the Walmart where I go when I do some Walmart shopping. And so my sense was, all right, they may know me in there, maybe just from coming in there, or not because I'm a secret shopper, but just because I go in there and shop. So that may be an advantage for them. I also went in wearing dressed up. Kind of like a Walmart person of management or perhaps or something. And not necessarily going to think that, but I went in there with, I would say, a typical Walmart attire. I'm wearing a tie and a dress shirt, dress pants, and flippers. No, I had on actually regular dress shoes. So I figured, all right, I give them every opportunity, right? One thing about Walmart is they have no formal secret shopper program. This is something that Joe said. He said, quote, "They used to do different things in specific areas, but I don't see it being used as a whole." All right, very good. Later on in the program, you're going to hear about the customer service training program that Walmart has, particularly at orientation, from a current Walmart employee. And she's been there quite a while. We'll get to that. Starting out the festivities at Walmart. Now, remember, Walmart has greeters, and some stores have them. And I assume they're hired, and I need to interview someone at some point about I think there's a National Greeters Association, actually. But why stores hire greeters? What's the purpose? On the outside, the surface, you're thinking these are people that are literally assigned the responsibility and duty of engaging patrons as they come into and leave a store. They're also there at Walmart for security purposes. You know, there's alarms. And we've all been through the Walmart thing in any store where we start ringing off the bells and we're waiting for confetti to fall and say, hey, you're the 1 millionth shopper. Now it's just that you set off the alarm. But the security person is kind of there to do that, too, to check bags, make sure the receipt matches everything, make sure you're not robbing the place. Well, Nick, the greeter, wasn't doing any of that. Now, Nick was just sitting on a stool, and people were walking by him, and he was just watching them walk by, sitting on the corner watching all the guys go by. That was what Nick was doing. So, you know, probably if you're going to be hired as a greeter, probably greeting would be one of the key components of what you're doing there. Later on, there was an older female employee who was in an aisle where I was sniffing scented candles. And, you know, this is problematic for employees. They're in their left brain process. I talk about this in training all the time. There's the thing that we do when we're an employee, whether it's stocking shelves or cleaning floors or sweeping or mopping or cooking or mixing or stocking or whatever it is. That's a left brain analytical process. It's a skill that they've learned that we've all been taught as employees. But nothing is more important than the engagement, the right brain, nurturing, love, kindness, empathy, all of those things that bring a store to life. And so employees who do not do that, I tell them all the time, it's not a threat, it is a reality. Employees that don't do that really run the risk of working themselves out of jobs. And not only do they risk their own job, but to a less important extent, they risk all of our jobs in retail and in any store anywhere where we're asked to engage. And so a female employee working at a shelf, I was standing within a foot. I mean, it was like, you know, she's Lucy holding the football and I'm Charlie Brown. I mean, that's how close it was. But she didn't acknowledge. And then when she stood up, she looked at me and then looked away and walked away. So we've got deny of reality going on. Again, that's bad. It's like you're spraying yourself with invisible spray. and people look right through you. And it feels like we're being ignored. And of course, that's because we are. And we deserve as human beings to be engaged. And so great opportunity there. At the paint counter, Jesse stepped up to play a little bit with a closed-ended, finding everything okay, man? You know, a little informal, you know, probably. But though I noticed after I walked away, he was addressing everyone, saying, hey, man, yo, what's up, man? I'm not sure Jesse knew anyone's name. Everyone's kind of, you know, dude, man, whatever. So, yeah, open-ended questions only. We teach and preach that. What can I help you find? How are you doing? Salutation. You know, all those basic fundamental precepts of engaging people for the first time. So missing at that point. Carol at the automotive desk at Walmart, they have a repair sort of area where you can schedule your car to be repaired, was on the phone. I'm sorry, was talking to a customer while she was looking down. That's why I was confused at first. So she's engaging, quote unquote, a customer who's standing on the other side of the counter, but she's looking straight down while she's doing it. And she was looking at a computer, but then there were moments when she could have looked up and she didn't. And I remember listening to her and she said, quote, we don't do that kind of repair work. You'll have to take it to a regular mechanic, unquote. And so, you know, you're thinking, is she talking about the guy isn't regular, like bowel movement, like what I had earlier? Let me tell you, I was very regular earlier. Or is it that this person isn't a trained mechanic? In which case, the question has to be asked, why would you take your car to like a place that doesn't have like a trained person to repair it? Yeah. So, and I'm sure she didn't understand sort of the faux pas there, but the impact, there were six people, customers in that area. I know some of them heard that because they sort of turned heads and like, or a smirk, you know. So people were cued in, they understood. So probably different language and look them in the eye. Dave just completely ignored me as I shopped for a new battery for my car, which doesn't need one. It's a hybrid. It has its own, and I wouldn't be buying it there anyway. And then Nisha, finally I got in line. I said, if I'm going to get engaged, I'll get in line. And Nisha said, unsmiling but open-ended, what can I do for you? So very nice and an open-ended question, Nisha. And then she was, you know, she was friendly and engaging, but never smiled. Well, I wouldn't say never. She did at the end. So just throw in, and even called me hun, as in honey. And I love that. It's very endearing. It's like she knows. It's like my mom would have addressed me. So very nice, Nisha. Throw in a smile, you'll be better. And she's only lived in Iowa a couple years, worked at this Walmart for a couple years. But then I said, well, you look familiar. And the reason I'll tell an employee that is because I'm trying to get their name if they don't have a name tag on. I couldn't read hers. And she said, quote, I'm always over at Hy-Vee. Maybe that's where you see me. I'm cheating on Walmart, but I always go to Hy-Vee, unquote. You know, again, that's, yeah, throwing the place you work for under the bus, not a good idea, which is in essence what she's doing. And again, we laugh, hee-hee, ha-ha. We're trying to connect. I understand all that. We're having a fun moment, but she meant it. And so, again, it's this little negativity about the place I'm in. You don't like the place. You don't buy from the place. That's fine. But don't tell me you buy from another place and promote that place. That's the last thing the people who write, sign your checks want to hear. All right. Just a tip on the dope rhyme. Over in the fabric section, of course, I'm trying to, you know, I'm making something. I'm quite a seamstress, and I'm looking at fabric. And an older woman from behind me says, can I help you find something? And it closed-ended, granted, but the fact that she addressed me, even though my back was to her, was really cool. And then this kind elderly woman walked me all the way over to the blankets. I said, you know, Couldn't I have come up with something that was, like, right beside us? No. I had to mention something that was, like, 500 yards away. And so this frail little old woman led me all the way over to the blankets. Very endearing, a bit of a smile at the end. And I never got her name, unfortunately, so very nice job. And then all of that good feeling stuff was just kind of blown up over in home electronics. Now, in the first review I wrote for Walmart, I really blasted them. Because in two trips in at that time on the same day, I was ignored for a grand total of about almost an hour shopping around the home electronics, big screen TVs, everything else. Now, it doesn't take a genius to know that's where the profit is. That's why stores put those sections typically some distance back so you have to walk through the store. There's a lot of profit to be made in home electronics, big screen TVs. Dudes like me, yeah, we want our big screen TV and we'll spend a lot of money for them. And so the idea that any of us have to wait that length of time and then never get engaged and waited on, yeah, there's a hole in the system somewhere. And so I spent 20 minutes browsing televisions back and forth, walking. They have like 35 of them there. and no one said boo. And people had chances to say boo. Alice blew by me first, never said a word to me. Jasmina watched me walk back and forth right in front of her as she stacked DVDs. And she saw me. I saw her turn and look at me twice and then look away. Didn't say a word. Leslie saw me, didn't say a word, kept doing her thing. Hillary walked right past me, not a word. So deny of reality. Boomity, 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 boom. All that goodwill, the woman at the fabric, not completely blown up by people that are just pretending like you're not there in a section where you've got to be engaged. And then I give Leslie another chance. She was stocking an end shelf, and I walked over to her and started looking at prepaid phones. And I was just sort of perpendicular to her, maybe just like 6 or 7 feet away. And then I got a little closer, and she's on the end. And I get a little closer, and I get a little closer, a little closer. And I finally turn, and I'm right beside her, which was weird, I know, probably felt bizarre. But I was browsing these prepaid phones, and probably a minute passed. She's almost literally having to reach around my arm, and then she points up to, because above the rack of phones in the boxes, there's actually a display phone to show you what the phone actually looks like out of the box. And after a minute, she pointed up and she said, "That's what they look like." And then she just kept stalking. So I thought, oh, that's what they look like. Got it. So yeah, Leslie, you're right there, you know, another human being to another human being. Not an employee and a customer, just two folks hanging out. Yeah, say hi, engage him, smile at him, greet him, you know, all that goopity goop. And then later on, I went to Cameras, which was one of the funniest moments in the whole time. Sergey, I think it's Sergey, wonderfully endearing. He came up and he said, "Impressive, isn't it?" And he kind of had that accent. He said, "Oh, they've come so far. Let me show you something else." So he walks me over to this a Canon PowerShot, a little more expensive camera, and he wants to show me this thing, this feature that it does. And he's getting there and he's working on it, and he's talking, and he's not getting it to do the thing. And then like 3 minutes later, it's still not doing the thing. So very charming. I love the way that he opened up the conversation. But then, yeah, he's trying to show me this thing, and it didn't work. So that kind of blew that up later. Then he told me some other things about Walmart's philosophy. He talked about zoning, and not the zoning laws, which Walmart faces some fights in courts all over the country. But no, zoning within the store. Zoning is the idea that at certain times throughout the day, the Walmart stores will have to, the employees are expected to sort of pick up the place and straighten things out and front the merchandise and keep it organized. And that happens at specific times at 2, 6, and 9 p.m., Sergey told me, in specific sections. Along home electronics, it's ongoing, happens on an ongoing basis. And then he said something that was really interesting. While we're sitting there talking, he had never asked me really why I was there or what I was looking for. He says he spends up to 5 or 10 minutes with each customer who is looking at TVs. And it was kind of funny because I said, "Oh, yeah? You mean like when I was over there for 20 minutes or something?" Yeah. And then he said something very interesting. He said, "It's the most profitable department in the store," talking about the big screen televisions. "We can make up to $150 profit on a television." Interesting insight. But again, you know, I'm sort of juxtaposing that with, okay, like, you mean when I was like right over there and didn't get helped? So yeah, awareness. He's in his eye. He's in his world, the I, individuality. He's not thinking about mine. And so, yeah, some opportunity there. And then this guy named John came up and dropped a bunch of DVDs on this glass table that sounded like a gun going off. And that sort of blew up the moment. So anyway, we had Miles over in the DVDs, which said, "Hi, sir, how are you?" While Sergey, Bill, and Miles then later on just completely blew me off for the 15 minutes I browsed. Crystal was carrying a ladder and stopped in the middle of the aisle, seeing me. She said, "Are you lost? Can I help you?" And was really cool. I mean, listen, if you can carry a ladder and engage somebody, you're somebody I want to talk to, Crystal. Nice job. Chuck, a manager, walked by with a smile. Bev, Kathy, Indiana, and Brandy ignored me, all four of them, while I stood within 2 feet of them. And then Jelani at the customer service desk asked me a nice open-ended, "How can I help you?" and other things throughout. So anyway, tallying up the scores, this is what, if you're counting at home, I'm sure you are. Walmart in March, 51 employees encountered. 7 smiles, 8 greetings, 3 engagements, 2 thank yous. Walmart, this time out, 7 months later, 1 trip through, 28 employees encountered, 1 smile, 6 greetings, 2 engagements, 1 thank you. Joe Becker, probably not thrilled with those results as the store manager. I hope the change continues, Joe. And in fact, there are some Walmart employees who are upholding great customer service. You're going to hear from a current Walmart employee about just that coming up as the Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on for a Saturday. It is 8:20. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Johnny Wright. Good morning. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan? Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT, 8:22. Currently 60 degrees, a little bit of rain off and on today, and 77, a mild one for the Susan B. Komen Race for the Cure going on downtown Des Moines right now. If you're a part of that or you're trying to fight the traffic doing something else, yeah, be careful out there. There's a lot of folks downtown, of course, who are trying to maneuver, and of course you have people who, you know, don't normally come downtown, and they tend to be not, you know, sort of looking at,
did we just pass, was that 9th Street or 7th Street? No, those aren't numbers, they're lettered numbers. Those are the words and not the numbers. We're all lost. We'll just stop in the middle of the road and ask for directions. That happens all the time.
Listen, as long as you're not driving a tractor down the road, you're going to be okay. Weather forecast says expect rain throughout the weekend, but Monday back to being sunny and 73. Well, Walmart talked about it quite a bit. There are a lot of stores out there, 8,000 of them, as a matter of fact. 2 million employees worldwide in 15 countries, the largest retailer, period. Boomity boom, biggest, most profitable one. And Walmart's taking a lot of flack. You go online and Google, I hate Walmart, and yeah, there's like thousands of websites dedicated to it. From current and former employees and people outside in the industry who think Walmart has unfair hiring practices, keeps the employees down, doesn't pay them a living wage, uses foreign labor and pays them pennies, and all kinds of controversy. And also the argument that Walmart puts small businesses out of business. And of course, that is how they've grown their business, by selling it cheaper and more of it. And it's about price for a lot of people. Of course, a lot of people won't go into a Walmart because of all of those things. And of course, plenty of people do. But what are the employees out of those 2 million who is doing a really, really nice job at her particular Walmart is Susan. Her name isn't Susan, and I won't tell you the Walmart that she works at, but it is a local Central Iowa Walmart. And she joins us this morning. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Susan, talk about how if you can tell us the story, how'd you get involved with Walmart? You've been there 10 years. How did you make the leap into working in retail with Walmart, the largest retailer in the world?
Well, I was referred to the job by a neighbor who worked out there, and they said that I asked if they'd had any openings, and they said, you know, I will check. And they got back with me the next day, and they said, yes, you need to apply. They have openings, and they're looking forward to meeting with you.
So what was your perception before working at Walmart? What was your perception of what it would be like to work at Walmart?
I guess I would always felt that, or had thought that it was mainly cashiers, people that maybe not had the confidence to go to work somewhere else. And I didn't realize that the sky's the limit on where you want to go with Walmart.
Well, and tell me, when you first started, how long did it take you to understand that what you understand now, that there was all this potential for growth and that it was different from what your perception was?
I would say probably with me, it took probably a couple of months. And actually, as time goes on, I'm learning more and more that what I could get into at Walmart.
And what was it about? Can you talk a little bit about were there specific things that were going on inside the Walmart you're working at that led you to think, oh wow, this is kind of different than what I thought it would be?
I guess when I went through the orientation, you know, and they told me the different areas that I could get into if I wanted, and then once I started with a job in the area that I worked at, they said, oh, if you ever want to leave this certain area, you can go out. The sky's the limit. If you want to go into management training, you can. And I said, well, that may be a possibility down the road.
And Susan, had you done management before you started at Walmart? Had you ever been in a managerial position?
I was an assistant manager at just a small, like a seasonal, kind of a Halloween-type store.
Right, right.
And that was just, it was basically just kind of a supervisor, nothing like a manager or anything like that.
So you had never necessarily, had you ever, is that something that you wanted before you got to Walmart? Was that a goal of yours?
No, not necessarily.
So interesting. So Walmart, this environment that you went into, actually cultivated in you something that you had not seen in yourself previously.
Absolutely. And I feel that with Walmart, they've given me a lot of confidence.
talk about that. How have they done that? How have they brought out that confident part in you? What's went on?
Well, and a lot of times the managers that I have had have told me how well I do and that I'm dependable. You know, and they've kind of given me a lot of free rein. You know, and then once I had the free rein, they said, okay, this is what you could have done better, but you did a really good job.
So you've been surrounded by people who loved you, in a sense, nurtured you.
Well, I don't know if they love me,
that's my customer service trainer talk. I know, but they believed in you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And isn't it interesting, and you can speak to this, how when we come in as employees often in a workplace, particularly based upon our past experience, and also because our perception, say, of a Walmart, a large big box retailer, is that we're not going to get gland handled. We're not going to get patted on the back. We're not going to get told that we're doing a good job when we do a good job, but instead we're probably going to get told when we screw up.
That is very true.
And so when you started getting this positive feedback from your managers, this surprised you.
It did.
And that led you to come to a place where you began to believe in yourself.
Yes.
And 10 years later, obviously, now you are in a managerial position now, correct?
No.
Well, you're not. Now, I didn't mean to make that leap. So you're not. So you're still one of the peons, quote unquote.
I am. I'm still an hourly associate.
But and have you had opportunities to go into management?
Yes.
And talk about why you chose not to.
I chose not to at the time because we had two small children, and I wanted to be close to home. I live fairly close to my job, and I wanted to be close to the home with the kids. And now that they're pretty well grown up, I'm considering maybe within the next year or two to go into training, some type of training.
Let's talk about that training for a minute. And I want to specifically address customer service training, which, of course, is the crux of what I do. It's my training, And I've talked to people who've told me that Walmart does have customer service training, that it's part of perhaps the orientation, not necessarily on an ongoing basis. You tell me what has been your experience in that regard.
Well, we have something that we do at work that's, I'm in a specialty division at Walmart, and we've had like meetings, like off-site meetings that we get paid for. That we'll go, and it's like with a lot of different areas, different stores that will have, you know, like send their people, and we do role playing how we would handle a situation, and then we kind of, the rest of the group critiques us. And I've been to probably four or five of those since I've been with Walmart, and those have really helped.
Is there a standard way that Walmart teaches, and standard, I use quotations around it, is there a methodology that Walmart says, all right, we want your head on a swivel. Every time a customer is, you see them, you should engage them in this way. And here's a process,
yes.
Step one through five. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, a 10-foot rule. When someone comes in the store, when they're within 10 feet of you, you know, to address that person, to say good morning, good afternoon, how are you? Is there something I could help you with? You know, it's just acknowledging that customer, you know, that letting them know that you have seen them and that they matter to you.
Is that, and I want to be specific, is the wording that the employee is supposed to be used, does Walmart give suggestions as to what the salutation should be, what the question should be, sort of what the phrase is? Okay.
Yes.
So,
and it's just mainly just acknowledging, you know, eye contact, showing that the customer is it that you are interested in them.
So does Walmart have like an acronym, like some stores have like HELP, and each letter stands for help, assist, and that would be misspelling help, but you get my drift, or is it just in general sort of written out?
Basically just in general, and with me and the area that I'm in, I don't get into a lot of like the store meetings. You know, I'm in a specialty division, so I miss a lot of the specific training out in the store.
And I understand that Walmart does some of the sort of what I would call motivational kinds of meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, we'll have like store meetings. Mm-hmm.
And in those motivational meetings, even though I know you not maybe haven't necessarily been part of those, how do they rally the troops? How do they keep people's spirits up? Because we are talking about an employee base that probably a lot of them are making what, around minimum wage, I would guess,
possibly or a little above.
And so what do they do to get people enthusiastic and engaged and sort of mm-hmm. dialed in?
What they do is they get them to participate, you know, let them maybe give them something to talk about in the meeting, something, a project that they're working on or something that they have been exposed to, you know, like making them feel needed and having them participate.
My guest this morning is Susan. She is an employee, a longtime employee, 10 years, at a local Walmart here in Central Iowa on 1350 KRNT. Well, Susan, let's talk about, and I would call it Walmart's black eye. I mean, when people talk about Walmart and customer service, at least from the outside looking in, which is one of the reasons I'm having you on the show, I think when the normal consumer looks at it, they think, you know what, I normally don't, I mean, it's not an engaging place. I'm there to buy my stuff and get out, and employees aren't necessarily friendly. I don't think of high-end customer service when I go into a Walmart. Why do you think that perception exists, if it does, and I know I'm assuming here, if it does, in the public?
Why do I think that?
If you agree with that, I'm sort of making an assumption here. Why is that, do you think? Why do people think that the customer service isn't going to be very good at a Walmart?
Well, possibly because we're a discounter. A lot of times, and people have that perception when they go into Walmart, they go in to get their things. They don't want to dilly-dally around, and they want to leave the store.
One of the things I hear frequently, because I do critique stores on a regular basis, is that it comes down to employee happiness and the way that the store treats those employees. And what I've heard, and I'm not saying about your store or any particular store, is that oftentimes Walmart employees are not necessarily treated particularly well by management, that they push them to work long hours and that there's not a lot of thanks going on. But that doesn't sound like that's been your specific experience at all.
That is correct. And I've been lucky since I've been there. I haven't worked out on the floor. I've worked in a specialty area of the store, you know, and it's a little more secluded, you know, and we're a little more personable area. We're in a smaller area, more confined area.
When you go out now, do you shop at other Walmarts?
I have.
What is it, and not by name, but what has been your experience? How has the customer service been at other Walmarts that you've been at?
Well, I would say that I probably have the same perception that there was a lot of negativity, you know, that the associates may not have taken the time to spend with the customers, you know, and if they didn't know something, a lot of times they weren't willing to find out.
And I would imagine that can be particularly frustrating because you're upholding your end. I mean, you are following the mandate. You are happy. It does sound like you are an engaging person with your customers.
Absolutely. And that I have had a lot of background before Walmart. I had a lot of customer service, and I have been with, you know, more one-on-one, you know, realizing that without these customers coming in, I wouldn't have a job.
And that really cuts to the crux of it with the economy like it is now. Do you see employees, coworkers that you work with and other people out there in the sector, do you see them working harder, struggling to maybe hang on to that job, even if they're not necessarily happy in the job because they realize there isn't anything else out there for them?
I would say I see that a lot.
Well, I think, Susan, what you've done this morning is I suspect you've made people sort of pause and ponder a little bit about who may have had preconceived notions about what Walmart was like as far as an employee. And I think you've maybe changed some perceptions, at least in your specific example. And of course, it's all different. And there are 2 million employees in 15 countries, and Walmart is the largest retailer. So obviously, you're going to have some folks out there that aren't necessarily always happy and bubbly and engaging. But we're very lucky to have folks like you, Susan, on the front lines, smiling, engaging, greeting, thanking, following the great pillars of customer service that I teach, and just the fundamentals of just being nice to people, which is always, of course, we know that's important, don't we?
Yes, you know, and my philosophy is I treat others the way I like to be treated.
I like that philosophy. That's a good one. No matter where you're working, be happy and just be engaging. It's why we're all here. I think that's at least one of the reasons we're here. Thank you so much, Susan, for taking time out with us this morning. Well, if you're looking for a change, or if you're trying to just change, or any of us are trying to change our behavior, how do we do that? How do we, if we haven't been nice, how do we become nice, whether we're working at work or at home or any of that? Is change even possible at this age as we are adults? We're going to talk more about that coming up. And then if you really want some change and you want out of the workplace you're in, John Cullen, a recruiter for Executive Resources, locally owned recruitment agency in Des Moines, is going to tell you how you go about that and how they might be able to help you there at Executive Resources. All that coming up as the Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on at 1350 KRNT.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Everybody sing along. You know the words.
Toy store, music store.
Wherever you may be working, whatever the retail sector you may work in, I appreciate you tuning in to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT, 838. A little bit of light rain tailing off. The Race for the Cure going on now downtown. Be careful if you're driving down this part of the city to do whatever you may be shopping for or spending money on. Coming up a little bit later on the program, John Cullen, recruiter for Executive Resources, joins us. If you're looking to make a change, a change that'll do you good, maybe John can help you out with that. Well, how do we change fundamentally, though? The question, do we even want to? Well, it's probably part of the dealio, though. And a lot of my training and what I work with employees with Dahls and Westside Auto Pros and Gabus Auto Group and other people that I work with and train with and have over the years. And listen, first of all, you're talking to a complete flunk out of college. I mean, you're talking to somebody who went through five colleges, burned through them, and just went from a 4 point down to a, I didn't know if they count that low. They're still trying to tally the numbers. So the idea of changing and learning and watching others teach us and all that engagement, you're talking to somebody who's just really struggled with that as most of his adult life. But they say that we are who we are, and I've heard this said more than once. By the time we're 5 years old, we are pretty much who we're going to be in this life. And that, and I say that often in training. And other than tragedy, which a death or cancer or something happens, whatever, an accident, that we pretty much stay on this parallel line. And that we pretty much we weave a little bit back and forth. But who we are at the age of five is pretty much, now with some exceptions. I mean, hopefully, you know, whether we're a little bit potty trained, maybe our eating manners are a little bit, perhaps, you know, some of the stuff. Sure. But overall, we is who we is who we is. What's interesting about that, though, is that after talking to people in psychology, industry, and after doing training myself and watching change, that the truth is that that's not true. That we can fundamentally change. Even the most basic fundamental things, the small things that we want to change. For example, I work with employees all the time, and I'm asking them to do certain things that they may not normally do, which may be simply to smile at customers. That's something they didn't normally do. And they're not always aware of the fact that they're not smiling at customers. They may think they're smiling. And part of change, I think, is bringing in people who can look at us from the outside and give us a sense of sort of be recorders for us, sort of give us a template to give us an idea of what their perception is of us. And of course, two people in a relationship are always in different relationships of perception. But part of this, and people in the workplace, and you probably notice you're working at, all you see are the same four walls all the time. And the feedback that you may get typically may be on the negative side. When you do get feedback, it may often be about you screwed up, you did something wrong. And so it tends to reinforce and just focus on all the negative things you're not doing as opposed to celebrating the great things that you are doing. And I think one of the key parts of training that seems to work, and certainly works for me and probably works for all of us, is complimenting people. The smallest little things in our workplace. I mean, ask yourself this question. When is the last time you complimented a coworker? When is the last time someone or you did something and you got complimented for from a coworker? I'm not talking about a customer, but just someone you work with. That idea that we can celebrate each other's victories, that these little things, these little itty bitty things we do throughout our work day are these very powerful things inside of us if we allow them to be. I think that a lot of people believe that they have to be miserable at work, that a third of our entire lives, 8 hours a day, a third of our lives, has to be spent in a certain level of misery, that we can't actually be ourselves and be happy and joyful while we're at work. Now, not everybody subscribes to that, and people subscribe to that in different levels. But that may have a lot to do with the idea that change is sort of difficult, whether we're at the workplace or not, but that simply smiling and greeting and engaging and thanking people. And it's this left brain process, and that's much of the training. I'll use Dahl's Foods as an example. I'm working with six of their 12 stores now. And the first month or so of this training has really been focused on the left brain process-driven part of, well, follow the pillars of great customer service, which are part of my training for the biosphere, which you can read if you go to theunsecretshopper.com. And it's smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up, serve chocolate. Those are the basic fundamental precepts of great customer service. But as we get into the next month or so of training, the thing that we're really going to start focusing on is how we engage each other and an awareness of that. And I think any change has to start with the idea, how are we really being to other people? How do they see us? How do they perceive us? And when we know about that, how does that change us? Does it matter to us, for example? How about this? What if we went into a workplace and we smelled? I just want to use this as an example, right? Or say we had bad breath or something. Or we go into, or we'll have like a piece of food in our mouth, stuck to our mouth, and it's been stuck there every day we've been going to work for months. We would want someone to tell us that. And instead we end up finding out on our own and we go, oh, why didn't somebody tell me I had a half a banana sticking out of my mouth? Sure. And we feel weird and stupid and they've been watching us and no one has said anything. So part of it is being able to be honest with each other and have honest dialogue about, hey, you know what? And not that you're going to come up to somebody and say, you know what? I got to tell you something. You kind of stink. We're not going to tell someone that on the playground when we were 5 years old, we didn't have any problem telling each other that we smelled or that we were whatever or something offensive. No, no. As adults, we're sort of walled off. We don't go there because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to be offensive. But if we have behaviors that are not conducive to other people's happiness, whether it's our coworkers or whether it's the customers we serve, then someone's got to tell us that. I mean, they don't have to. We can just go on through life and just be that way and be sort of offensive to other people. Or it's not even that big a deal. It's more subtle ways. And so the exercises we're doing now with training are about one-on-one time spent with each other, getting to know each other. That is coworker to coworker, sharing things with each other that people didn't know. I've seen employees who have been longtime employees, been 10, 20 years, and last week, in fact, and I asked them to share something with each other that they didn't know about the other person. And they were surprised at this. Well, this person's been to the Philippines. I didn't know they traveled, and I didn't know they knew Italian. I didn't know they liked to fly fish. I didn't know they liked to do these things. And suddenly you're having this dialogue and you're knocking down walls that exist between people who may have been coworkers and worked side by side for years and years, but never had the conversation about who are you really as a person. And of course, before I could ask any employee to get to know customers, really, on that personal level, we've got to get to know the people who are closest to us in the workplace, and that is our coworkers. You know, they say treat your employees like you treat your best customer. Well, I think for employees and coworkers, how about treating coworkers like you do your favorite family member? That closest part in. So change is, I think, in part and parcel all about perception of who we are. You know, they say never adopt the dog that steps on your feet. Why? Because the dog has no perception outside itself. It doesn't see feet. It steps on them. It's not aware of them. And so in other ways, it's not going to be aware of you as a human being, and so it may not make the best pet. Same thing as friends and coworkers. We want people that have empathy, that have a sense of radar, can sense that maybe they're doing something that we may find offensive or off-putting or something. And we want them to be aware of that and to change that behavior. So, you know, I don't think we live this life for ourselves. I don't think we're put here to live in this isolated life. It's all about me, me, me. As children, we are. That's the only way we know how to be. But as adults, you know, we're around each other all the time. We have to live around other people unless we are, you know, Ted Kaczynski living in a shack. And so part of this playing well in the sandbox and part of the training is about getting to know the other person and caring about them enough to that we don't want who we are to offend them. And likewise, we want the great part about ourselves to be able to be shared with them. The great part, our joy, our laughter, our passions, our hobbies, everything about us. We want that to be front and center. And so it's an ongoing process, and I just want to tell the employees that I'm working with that I've just been thrilled at the results. And talk about change. We have heard more positive comments through the Dolls training from customers. The managers are coming up to me and telling me this. The employees are coming up to me and telling me that they're hearing a word from customers. You know, I've never seen the people smile this much. I've never seen them this engaging. I've been coming into this Dolls for 15 years. I just had a secret shopper go in who shops at Dolls, has shopped at Dolls for 15 years. And she said, quote, I've never seen people this friendly in these stores ever in 15 years. And so the idea that we can change and we can adapt comes from awareness of what our behavior is from someone outside often, and then taking ownership of it and caring enough to actually change and adapt. And ultimately, we become happier. It's this crazy thing. I don't know why it works the way it does, but it seems to. We make other people happy. It makes us happy. That's how our ultimate happiness is, I think, discovered. I hope you're happy this morning, whatever you're doing, sitting around drinking coffee or heading off to work or wherever it may be. A series of little changes can lead to some really, really big ones. But if you're ready for a big change in the workplace, that is getting out of there and getting onto some other place, I got just a guy for you. John Cullen, a recruiter for Executive Resources, joins us next to talk about the employment world. Are there still jobs out there? Are there jobs anybody wants? And if you want another job, is he the guy making help you find it? All that and more right here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. 850 at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Go Clones play in Texas down in Austin tonight, or actually this morning at 11 a.m. Very nice. Iowa playing at home at Kinnick, Wisconsin, 2:30 kick. Drake at home versus Davidson, probably a little bit of rain, 1 p.m. UNI tonight, homecoming 4 p.m. at home. And Race for the Cure going on downtown, wherever you may be doing sports or otherwise. Enjoy yourself out there. If you're not enjoying your job, how about a new one? John Cullen may be the guy to help you get a new one. A recruiter for Executive Resources, a locally owned recruitment company here in Des Moines, joins us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Well, John, tell me, how did you get to become a recruiter for Executive Resources? How did that happen?
You know, I was recruited here.
Yeah, well, sure.
You know, I'm an accounting finance recruiter here at Executive Resources for a little over a year now, and I got a call one day. I've been in the private sector accounting world for about 6.5 years prior to becoming a recruiter, so this is kind of a career change for me, but decided to go ahead and take that leap of faith and get into this business.
Now, so, John, I have to ask, before this, now, because they say that those that don't teach, did you ever have problems getting a job yourself over the years, or have you always been pretty solid in that regard?
You know, I've always had pretty good luck in that regard, so it wasn't very difficult, but I never experienced today's marketplace.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, I train employees all the time, and a lot of them say, you know what, I'm not terribly thrilled where I'm at, or I may be kind of happy, but I'm pensive about looking out there for something else, because this is a freaky, scary, crazy job world out there. Tell me what you see.
You know, when I first started, there was a little bit of reservations for anybody willing to change, and now that has pretty much changed in this marketplace. At the beginning of 2010, we started seeing a lot more people willing to look around and shop and get exposure to different opportunities. They say about over 60% of the people are unhappy in their current employment, so there are a lot of unhappy people at their current places, and there's a lot of opportunity out there that now they're willing to take the risk and say, yep, let's go ahead and make my life a little bit happier.
What are some of the reasons people are so unhappy that you see come across your desk in interviews?
You know, it's a little bit of a lot of people lost their jobs in today's economy, so and they never hired back, but the workload stays the same. So a lot of them felt overworked, undervalued. The raises and compensation over the past year and a half haven't been available. A lot of people either took pay cuts or took kind of standard raises, merit raises, if you will, and their workload increased, their hours increased, and so you get a little bit of resentment.
Well, John, I teach people to be happy in the workplace, and so it sometimes, because of exactly the kinds of things you're talking about, that can be so difficult to keep that smile on our face and greeting people and just acknowledging them and all the things that I teach about with my company. But the people that feel displaced, that are unhappy, that may come to you exactly for the reasons you've stated, how do they lose that unhappiness at the next place they go to?
That's one of those things where you really got to dig deep. You know, we can't help everybody, and usually we try to help those people that were happy in their employment. There are those poison pills out there that they're going to be unhappy anywhere they go. The grass is always greener somewhere else. And those are the people that we struggle placing. We, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, we try to seek those successful people that were really excelling, that maybe got their career progression stopped for one reason or another, whether it be the economy, whether it be kind of their employer. And so we try to gear towards helping those individuals, those top performers that were happy at one point, still happy, but maybe interested in something new.
My guest this morning is John Cullen. He is a recruiter for Executive Resources, a recruitment firm locally owned and operated here in beautiful Des Moines, Iowa on 1350 KRNT. All right, John, well, then that speaks to the next question. What filtering process when you bring in someone who's come to you and say, hey, I'm looking for new work. What do you got out there? What are some of the filtering? Do you have certain Q&As you look for because you want to find people that aren't necessarily disgruntled and aren't going to spray their stench on the next employer that they go to? What are some of the cues for that?
You know, we bring them into a face-to-face interview, and we've got a lot of experience here in our office, especially, and so we can pick up on those tendencies. We've got some predictive index testing that we can apply if we don't get a clear picture off the interviews that we get, and we also check references. Whether they're employed, if they're employed, it's hard to check their current employer, obviously, but Des Moines is a small community, and there's usually somebody out there, or you've gotten exposure to some of those candidates or those companies and know what kind of quality they can present.
What is the number one biggest mistake people make in an interview?
It really depends. Probably the biggest one that I see are not being professional, being a little bit too relaxed in that interview. It's the time to impress. It's the time to get on your soapbox and speak out, but not be that, you know, arrogant or cocky person in the same regard. So it is a kind of a balancing act, and it's definitely a learned skill. And so hopefully we can coach them on that, but you can't change what you are, I guess.
Well, and John, it also speaks to something. I know you've only been with Executive Resources for a year, but it seems to me that there has been a generational shift as younger people are sort of speak to what you said about seem more into their eye, their own, where they're at, as opposed to being empathetic and being able to play a role in an interview process. And of course, it's all a balance because we don't want to come off as being phony.
Right.
But the truth is that happy people tend to get good jobs. And when they present themselves as happy and professional, even though they be, you know, they may be hurting inside and broken and busted up, but the key is not to show that. How have you seen the generational changes? Do older people interview better than younger people, or is there a trend?
You know, younger people seem to interview better. I think they have a lot more interaction. The older people usually haven't changed jobs in the last 10 years. And so this is kind of a new place for them. And they are real skeptical. You know, they're a little bit reserved and a little bit, instead of going in to impress and here's what I can do for you, they'll come in and kind of say, what can you do for me? Here's what I've been the last 25 years. I'm looking for something the same. And so you end up kind of having that generational gap where, you know, you got mistakes by the rookies and you got mistakes by the veterans.
A sense of entitlement, I suppose, people that have been doing it with that 10,000-yard stare for a long time. And how do you, when you see someone, let's say an older person who has that, has been to the same company 20, 30 years, and you see some habits in the interview which are embedded in which you say to yourself, wow, you know, if not for those things, this would probably be a great candidate, great resume, been very successful. Can you train that out of them at that point?
You can give them advice. Well, I don't try to coach people to become what the company wants. They have to be that person to begin with. And so that's where you contact a lot of people and you keep going through those. So you don't try to fit that square into a circle hole.
Well, John, if people are listening to this, and I get bombarded all the time with people looking for employment possibilities for my own company, the Biosphere, with secret shopping and other things, and so we know a lot of people are in some bad spots out there. Either they're underemployed or they're employed, but they're unhappy or they're flat-out unemployed. Tell them, hey, if you're interested, we've got openings. This is a good economy. There's still possibilities out there, opportunities. How do they get in contact with you, and what should they expect if they go through the matrix of Executive Resources?
You know, they can expect a great service. We've been 28 years here, locally owned and operated here in the Des Moines marketplace. That's our niche. We know the companies well. We've had success in it. Our phone number here is 515-287-6880 if they want to call in. Feel free to submit a resume, and if we have an opportunity for them, you know, we'll reach out to them.
And, Jen, I have to ask the last question. You mentioned you got recruited by Executive Resources. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you were doing your gig, and you were fine, and then somebody who knew you said, hey, this dude would really do well for you, and then you got a call?
Yeah. It's something that obviously I was looking for a career change, going into more of a recruiting role than an accounting role, and so you end up getting that call. It was actually kind of a connection through a connection. I'd used this recruiter in the past, and she kind of knew what I was looking for and thought, you know, you may be a great fit for us.
Well, it's all, you just proved it is all about who you know, not what you know.
That's right.
Absolutely. John Cullen with Executive Resources. It's been a great pleasure joining us this morning. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And, of course, the biggest advice, best advice I can give you, any employees, hire happy, train skills. You can't train happy